Blog Talk Radio.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet and you're going to regret because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." The devil opened up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings, and it made an evil hiss. And then a band of demons joined in, and it sounded something like this. Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Ready to dog bite, no child, no." The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best as ever been." He played, "Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, I'm picking out dough. Granny, will you don't fight, no child, no."
In the Gone Podcast. Hold on. Background there. And you have a question or comment for the guest? Hey, Dallas.
Okay, I got to say, guys, every time I have, like, an important guest on the show, it just seems like Blog Talk Radio goes nuts. I don't know why. but it's still a great platform for us on Rocky and the Gons podcast, and thank you for listening in. I apologize for the technical difficulties. If you're listening online and you do have a question or comment for me or the host, or the guest, rather, you can call in at 646-787-8638. Again, that's 646-787-8638. So welcome, Brittany Mondine, and to our program. We're going to be talking about CPS corruption in Texas tonight. And it's a topic we cover, you know, every once in a while here on Rocky and the Gods. I think a lot of you know, a lot of my, our listeners know that is an important topic to me. And, you know, basically I try to expose the cases that I think that CPS might be operating in a way that is suspicious without, you know, good cause, and every once in a while breaking up families. So it is something we're going to be talking about tonight, and it's something that specifically happened to Brittany very recently, since last week, and I'm going to go ahead and bring you on. Brittany, am I pronouncing your name right, your last name right, Mondine?
Yes, ma'am, Brittany Mondine.
Okay, perfect. So welcome to the show. You and I have got to know each other the past week on the phone and,
yes,
and
ma'am.
Stuff. And we, yes, it's been really, really nice meeting you. And I also want to let the listeners know before we get into the topic that, you know, you're an educated woman. You have a bachelor's degree. You're an Air Force veteran, disabled veteran, and you also you worked as a JAG paralegal, and that's a very difficult job. So I just want to say thank you for your service and you know, good job on your career.
Yes, ma'am, it was my honor.
Oh, awesome! God bless America. I love this country. Okay, so I'm going to give a little preface. You and your husband were high school sweethearts. You got married after high school. You had three awesome kids together, three boys, and it's gotten to a point where things have gone wrong with the marriage, and you all had already been separated and planning a divorce. And you know, from my perspective, from talking to you and learning about your case, is that your husband got jealous. You know, you had a friend over, and he decides to, and unbeknownst to him, that CPS, you know, has their own, like, devious way of doing things. Like, the last thing you want to do is call CPS and falsely accuse somebody of something. It's the last thing you want to do. But maybe he didn't know that. So he calls up and he says that he calls CPS, and he says that you have the kids. You've always been with the kids. You know, they're always, you're their mom.
Yes,
they've always lived in that home. They've always been with you. And dad was the one who wasn't living at home. But he called CPS, and then they, like, crashed down on you. And I'm going to let you take it from there.
So, yes, I was assaulted by my brother the Monday previous to the removal of my children, you know. And I guess somehow, you know, that played a role with the fact that Adam, my husband, ex-husband, soon-to-be, wanted to come down with a vengeance because my brother had explained to him that I had a friend over. From there, you know, I started worrying. I was receiving threats over my phone, basically saying, I'm calling CPS, I'm calling CPS. I offered to explain any questions that he may have, you know. And I've also, you know, I offered him 50-50 custody, my home and everything we owned, to not intervene with my children at all, who have been with me from day one and have really not spent a night away from me other than through some tragedies that we've suffered. So that Thursday.
Right, and let me ask Brittany, and let the listeners know that, I mean, you have an estranged relationship with your brother because he has mental health issues. Which is what you've told me in the past. So you had to call the cops, and the cops had to tell him to leave, right?
You weren't doing anything wrong.
Your brother was having an attack or something, and he took it out on you.
A mental episode, yes, ma'am.
Okay, and then he gets in touch with your husband, and they kind of collude. Your soon-to-be ex-husband, they kind of collude together to call CPS.
Right. Brother's upset that I had to get the police involved. Ex is already angry that I won't get back with him and that I had a friend. And then, yes, they decided to call CPS together. And they made some outrageous claims. They made some outrageous claims. Well, I sat here on pins and needles until that Thursday when CPS came knocking at my door. I didn't know I didn't have to let him in. I was not clear on my rights. I had not dealt with CPS previously. So I let them in. You know, to me, I opened my home because I didn't have anything to fear. I hadn't done anything wrong. So I said, you come on in, you know, look around, look at my baby. He's here. You know, then they informed me they had already gone to the school and talked to my kids without my permission or a guardian present.
Oh, right. I don't know. You know, I don't know if that's lawful, actually, on just on a complaint. Because there's some case law to show that I have to pull it for you and let you know. But there is case law to show that they can't do that. You know, interview children without permission.
Exactly. And even at that time, the husband claimed to be uninformed that they were going to go to the school and speak to the children.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Brittany.
From there, they came into my home. I offered her a drink. You know, I let her sit down on my sofa right next to me and perform her interview, where she actually wasn't clear with all the accusations at that particular time. You know, she did start bringing forth, you know, some accusations, and I went ahead and let her know these are outlandish. This is crazy. You know, I'm an active member of my community. I coach soccer teams. I volunteer at the school. I participate in fundraising activities and activities to help victims of Hurricane Harvey, as well as other people that have lost parents because I have lost my own parent. So I explained all this to her, you know, feeling like I had nothing to fear. I believe that my brother had acted alone at this point, and I got the ex on the phone to let him know what was going on. We were FaceTiming, and I began to have an anxiety attack as I start to hear the accusations. I'm starting to kind of realize that my brother hasn't really acted alone. I feel kind of in duress at this point. I've already been attacked. You know, I'm already feeling, you know, I had never been hit by a man in my life until that point. So I was already feeling pretty upset, you know, about what was going on. And I started to have an anxiety attack, which is, you know, that's a disability that I carried that I brought home with me from Iraq. And it's something that I deal with. I medicate for, and I talk to a therapist about. However, when this anxiety attack happened, my husband convinced me to take my prescribed medication, as I did. And, you know, after that, threats started coming from CPS while they were in my home. If you don't find somebody to come supervise you with your kids, we're going to take them to foster care. You need to find somebody. Well, I'm virtually alone down here. Most of my family lives up in Louisiana and Mississippi. And, you know, I explained that to them. I said, I moved down here with my husband.
I don't think their allegations, you know, their allegations, I don't think that there's a misstep here with them, because just because there is a complaint, you know, on the hotline, and they can go and investigate, they could spend time investigating. Really, legally, the only way that they could remove the kids is with exigent.
Right. I think I might have lost you. If you can hear me, I cannot hear you at this time.
Go ahead and keep talking. She'll be back on the call drop.
Okay. You want me to keep talking?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I'll go back to where I was. You know, I was then under the influence of a very small amount of anxiety medication. I explained to a lady that I was, you know, a female veteran, that I had, you know, experience and things in my life that caused me to have some anxiety, you know. And generally mothers, I think, have anxiety when someone's threatening to take their kids away. I don't know a mother
that
wouldn't have anxiety
that,
at that point.
It was also the first time that you realized that your husband was one of the complainants.
Exactly.
And you also,
exactly.
And then you're listening to these outlandish complaints, but even based on those complaints, that's not exigent circumstances, because they didn't see anything. Your kid's in danger. You know, they'd have to be like imminent harm. And
she
that
was very friendly.
Harm.
In the beginning, she tried to convince me, you know, that there was no reason for them to remove my children. You know, she tried to sympathize with me, you know, bringing up, you know, that she had an ex-husband as well and kids. She tried to you know, convinced me that everything would be fine. And then from there, I had no choice. I felt like, okay, I can't let my kids go to foster care. I'd rather them be with my mother-in-law. You know, so I did, I got in contact with a mother-in-law, you know, and she had to come take my kids. I screamed and cried. I begged. I tried everything I could, you know. I didn't know what to do at the time. You know, like I said, I didn't know what my rights were. I even only received page 303 of the safety plan that they convinced me to sign, which I told them the next day I signed under duress and coercion and believed it to be invalid.
Yes, I think it absolutely is invalid. I don't see, you know, sign here or we're going to take your kids to foster care. I mean, that was that
exactly.
Was the extortion. Right.
Exactly.
And that's extortion, which is a crime.
Right,
you know,
and all I'm thinking
think
in my head is about the babies going somewhere that they don't know where they're at, you know, and I'm like, well, at least I can put them with their family, regardless of the circumstances
that,
I knew.
Probably, you know, that was a motherly, probably instant motherly instinct to do that, and, you know, and but still, it's still under duress. So you shouldn't have been forced to do anything. They could have very well come in, take a look around, see the kids are fine. And
I allowed them
to
take their pictures, look at the house.
An investigation. You know, they could have moved forward. They can move forward with an investigation. They have like 72 hours. They can go back to a judge. They can get affidavits. They can go get a warrant. They can do a lot of things and within their rights. They can do that within their rights. But they didn't do any of that. Instead, you know, in my opinion, that they extorted you. And I want you to tell
me,
listeners,
that's how I felt.
What were the kids' reaction when...
So,
and I don't want to
mention
their names, by the way, but okay. What was their reaction when they were forced to leave?
Well, conveniently, CPS was here as the two older children were returning home from school. We live just about a half of maybe a quarter mile away from the school. And so, you know, they're allowed to walk around the corner home. They came walking around the corner. My oldest was very excited to see me, very excited to see his grandma, and he was very excited to tell me that CPS came to his school and talked to him while he was at school.
Right, because he wanted to talk.
And then
school.
He told all his friends about it, you know, in a very small town. So, you know, then I told him, I said, baby, you know, y'all are going to have to go with your grandmother now. And he, you know, they began to get upset. You know, I said, they're telling me you have to go away for 30 days right now. And he's like, that's too long. You know, they started crying. I had already packed their things. The baby is only three. He sleeps with me every night. You know, they're all mama's boys. They've slept with me most of their life. They sneak out of their bed into my room and I don't mind it. They snuggle me. And they're wondering how they're going to sleep at night. They wonder who's going to cuddle with them. They had a lot of questions that I couldn't answer. I wasn't able to answer at the time because I was so mentally stressed out by that time that they were being taken away from me. So, I mean, they were devastated, and I just told them I would come for them as soon as I could.
Yes, and you will, and you will, and you're going to get them back. Because, you know, the normal situation and the reason for CPS is, you know, even if they have probable cause to believe that the kids are in danger, and the kids is what is supposed to be on their mind, protecting the kids. So if they have probable cause to believe they're protecting the kids, they have an eyewitness to say something. They get an affidavit and they go to a court, and you know this too. They go to a court of an impartial judge, and with a sworn affidavit. That makes these allegations and this forces probable cause, and then they go get a warrant, and then they can remove the kids, okay, and take custody.
Right, I'm
but that's
very well informed now,
it, you
but
know,
I wasn't
like,
informed
you,
at the
you
time.
You see how they just jumped the whole job? You see how they just snatched them by coercion? And that's
exactly
what, that's the unlawful part. Because they don't even have probable cause. They got a sworn affidavit? Did they get a judge to look at it? An impartial judge? No. I mean,
I've requested a judge several
Fourth
times.
Fourth Amendment violation. Go ahead, Brittany.
Okay, so after the kids were gone, I was informed that my visits would need to be supervised by the mother-in-law. So at this time, I'm kind of still freaking out, like, because one, my ex is like, oh, what do you want to do this weekend? You know, all pumped up that I have to hang out with them. And two, I'm freaking out because I'm like, these are the very people that made false allegations against me and now are going to supervise my visits. But I'm going to go see my kids because it's important to me. But, you know, I did that Saturday. It went well that I knew of. You know, some heartbreak occurred while I was there. You know, I realized that my ex did have a girlfriend, you know, and he was still trying to get back with me, and I was very confused and felt manipulated, honestly.
Right.
So from there, I was like, this is a bad situation.
And you've been married for 11 years, about 11 years, you told me, right?
11 years, and we've been together nonstop for 14 years, minus the past year and a half when he's been estranged.
Right. I gotcha. So what happened when you went, okay, so the first visit went okay until you found out that he was pursuing somebody else while trying to pursue you again, and of course that's going to upset, you know, any woman.
Very confusing, yeah. From that point forward.
Quite frankly, that's your personal life, and, it really isn't CPS's business, you know, that you're having, difficulty with your husband of 11 years, someone you know for 14 years. You know, you guys are going to figure it out one way or the other without, beating the shit out of each other because you're two adults. So, it's kind of CPS comes in and they're like, boom, let me just take the kids and we're going to fix this. You're not going to fix anything. It's traumatizing for kids when they do that very much.
Yeah.
So. But you're going to get them back, Brittany. I really feel confident about it.
I'm praying for that day. I'm very hopeful for it.
Now tell the listeners what happened at the second visit, because I know there was some problems the second time too.
Well, let's go a little before that to the family team meeting that I requested.
Okay. Yes.
You know, I requested in between this after this Saturday. I was like, I realize this might not be the best situation for me, as you know, I'm a 32-year-old woman. I'm 4'11", and I don't weigh very much. You know, I said I don't want to be in a bind anymore. So I notified CPS, you know, I said, I need a meeting. I need to figure out another way. You know, one solution was that somebody has to come stay in the home and, you know, maybe that could be my ex, you know, and I was even willing to entertain this, in the beginning until, you know, it was like, oh, well, but he's at work and you have to pick up the kids. You also need another supervisor. And you're not ever going to be alone with your kids right now, basically, you know. And I'm like, so when I hold my babies at night, somebody needs to watch me. And I found that unacceptable. So at that time, I notified CPS that I was rescinding my signature from the safety plan, that it was unacceptable, that I was coerced into signing it. And then, you know, I told them I felt like I needed to get a lawyer. And their coordinator started yelling at me. She was like, get a lawyer, get a lawyer. And I was like, I will, you know, I'm going to get a lawyer. And she said, you know what, you don't even have to be here. You should probably just go. So from there, I left, and they continued to talk to my ex. You know, I have no idea what was stated, you know, other than the few things that I've told you. So then from there, I was like, well, I still need to see my kids. So by the time the meeting had occurred, it was almost Friday, so I contacted the ex. Hey, I want to see the kids this weekend. Oh, you can't. They're not going to be available. They're out of town. Where are they going? No one would tell me. You know, so then I said, well, when you get back, can I come see them Sunday? No, my mom's busy Sunday. You're not going to dictate her schedule. And I'm like, well, she's the supervisor. She has to be there. So I couldn't go Sunday. So Monday, I called CPS. I called the ex. I arranged a visit for Monday. Monday, the kids were off of school the entire day. It was Columbus Day. I was not able to access them until 6:30 p.m. And when I did gain access, I had requested to bring their friends over to visit with them. And I made them, you know, their favorite food, which is chili dogs. And I was very compliant, very quiet. I tried not to speak and engage with my ex or his mother-in-law any more, you know, than necessary, just to not exacerbate any situation beyond what it had already become. So I have these other children with me, children that, you know, have been a part of my kids' life for a while, you know, that they are their best friends. These children, they had lost their grandparents recently, and I've been helping their family, and then their best friends disappeared, and they didn't understand what happened. So for the health of all the children, we wanted to get them together so that they knew that everything was okay. However, when we got there, it was not okay. I fed the kids their chili dogs, and I walked back to the back bathroom where the boys' things were, where I know they are because I've been with this family for 14 years, and I'm at this house all the time. And as I do, my mother-in-law starts screaming at me that I don't get to walk around her house like I own it. You know, my ex starts telling me I'm not welcome. He calls me a see you next Tuesday in front of my children and the other children that I have with me. And I'm like, I'm at this point, I said, I have to go, you know, and the kids are screaming, you know, they're like, take us home, you know, and I'm so, so sorry, I cannot take you home. And I can't stay here because your dad isn't working with me and I can't be in this position right now. And I just told them I love them, and they cried. And my baby, he banged on the door, screaming, Mommy, take me home. And it broke my heart. It scared the other kids. The other kids said, CPS is a bad man, because they didn't understand who had taken their friends and why this man was yelling. They were scared. We had to go. So from that point forward, I got back in contact with CPS. I let them know, you know, that this wasn't working, that I needed a supervisor, and I submitted them five names with clean backgrounds, five people. Some of those people moved into a house across the street from me just to do this job for me, like just to help me, just to supervise me with my own kids. These people showed up for me, and you know, CPS denied all five. They didn't even give it a second thought. I don't understand why they wouldn't cooperate. You know, five options, that means that the 24-hour supervision they wanted me to have, I was fully capable of having. I had made agreements with all my friends and neighbors. Everybody was ready because all of these people know that I've cared for my kids by myself, that I've taken them to school every day. I've picked them up every day. I take them to every doctor appointment. I miss work every time. I think they might be sick. You know, and, you know, an entire town of people can attest to this, you know. So these people showed up for me, and, you know, CPS didn't give them the time of day at all. And it was very devastating for me, and I let them know again, hey, the safety plan is not valid. Well, when they called to inform me that they weren't going to approve any of my supervisors or change the situation for me, you know, my heart was broken. I didn't understand. Like, I believed, I had told them I would cooperate fully with anything they needed. I just needed my kids home, you know, and whatever methods or exercises I needed to do, even though I knew I didn't have to, I explained to them I was willing and ready to do all of that. I just needed my kids home. I've lost my mother. I lost my sister this year. I lost my mother 3 years ago. My kids are my, they're my everything, my heart. They keep me going, you know, and they have been taken away from me, and I can't describe the heartbreak that I feel. Even after all the loss I've been through, my heart hurts.
You know, unfortunately, you know, I hate to say this, just that you're not alone, because you're not. And there's really a lot of parents across this country going through the same thing. And I just want to impress upon the listeners how CPS manipulates families in this way. So, you know, they didn't have any probable cause. They didn't have the court intervention. They just basically walked into her house under an allegation that could not be proven under the circumstances, yet they coerced you into signing a safety plan to give your kids to your mother-in-law while you're in the middle of a divorce. You know, and I mean,
correct.
It's almost like trying to change the, you know, case tables to make you some kind of villain. And I don't, of course, I don't see you as a villain at all. I think I see you as a victim. But we are at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a five-minute break, Brittany. And we'll be back to talk about what, bring everybody up to date and what's happening in our big press conference happening tomorrow morning at 9:45 a.m. in Texas to notify the public of what is going on in this case against Brittany Mundine. You're listening to Rocky and the Gons podcast. This is a Win World Integrity News Network production. Thank you for listening in. after the break if you want to call in if you have a listening online. Call us at 246-787-8638.
Ladies and gentlemen,
right back.
Welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Y'all ready for this?
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Rocky and the Gons podcast, a Wind World Integrity News Network production. If you're listening online, you have any questions or comments, please call in at 646-787-8638. Again, that's 646-787-8638. My name is Raquel Okyan, your host, and our guest tonight is Brittany Mundane. Thanks so much for all of everything you're talking about. It's very touching. It's very moving, and I'm glad that, I'm very sorry that you're having to go through this, but I think it's important for the public to hear it right from your mouth, and we could really feel the emotion, you know, in your words, and it really is, it's devastating. I mean, and for any parent to be stripped of your kids for nothing, based on nothing, based on, you know, complaints. You know, people make a lot of complaints. It doesn't make it true. you know, they've actually convicted you, made you guilty of something without even an investigation. So they walk into your house already knowing.
Exactly.
Yeah, without even an investigation, with no probable cause and no court order. I think that's grounds for a civil rights lawsuit.
I believe so too. And also, I mean, just to say, I mean, people that don't have degrees, people that, you know, work hard every day, people that are educated in law have asked me, you know, what happened to innocent until proven guilty? And I said, I don't know. I do not know what happened to that. But that is not what's happened here.
Right. And then it just involves, you know, your kids. And at the same time, you know, and I think it's important to note that you're a disabled veteran, you know, so you were injured during wartime. You came home, you have certain disabilities.
Right.
I mean, they put you into a frenzy. You know, it's your fault your brother has a mental problem, you know, and he takes it out on you. And for some reason, it's almost like, they're putting you into a corner and like they're beating you up and like you're like, what did I do? I just want my kids, you know.
Right. I feel like I've been kicked while I was down. Yes.
Yeah, and they're kicking you when you're down, you know, which is the worst part. And I would just like to make just like a public plea, to your husband, who might listen in at some point or might be listening in. I just want to say that, you know, you won't have to figure this out yourself. You don't have to volunteer. You know, social services is a volunteer program. So as long as you're not volunteering to participate in their program, you all are adults. You know each other 14 years. You're high school sweethearts. Maybe your marriage didn't work out. But that doesn't mean you both can't act like adults and figure the right thing out for the kids. So, you know,
right.
if anybody, you know, is looking in and looking at this, they see the best interest of the kids, of course, come home to mom. That's their home. That's what they're used to. That's what they love. That's their life, their room.
That's their home. It's
friends,
their
schedule.
It's their friends.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then just removing them from that situation. The other problem with these kids that get removed, you know, they experience, you know, trauma. It's like being kidnapped. I mean, thankfully, you know, that he is with family, which does make it better. But the idea that, you know, your ex is the one who's sort of in control right now, you know, just because he called CPS. So that makes him in control. That's just not fair. That's not based
exactly.
on any evidence. Yeah. So okay, I want to know, or if you don't mind, I know that you've been to an attorney. You're getting ready to retain an attorney very soon. I wanted to know if you could tell us what their perspective was on your case.
The attorney also believed that regardless of how the children were removed, that they had in fact been removed from their home, and that I should also have been able to see a judge within 14 days at the minimum. I mean, at the most. At the minimum, I should have received contact within 72 hours, and I was never served. I still have not been served as of today.
Yes, and did the attorney agree that, you know, absent a court order, absent court intervention, I mean, are they operating rogue? I mean, what's going on here? What do they say?
Well, at this point, you know, it's been mostly legal assistance trying to, you know, get the research going. I don't want to speak for the attorney. I just know that I was told that they were more than willing to support this effort. They believed in it. They were very experienced at dealing with CPS cases, especially in San Patricio County, where I'm located, and that they believed I had a good case.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that. All righty. So now, when was the last time you seen the kids then? Was the night that you had to leave upset and the kids were upset, was that the last time you seen them?
Yes. Kind of, you know, except for the fact that as I was standing outside talking to CPS the other day, my mother-in-law drove them directly by my house and smiled and waved, and I knew they were in the car. And I just, it broke me that
why
they saw me, and I
that?
Wondered how many times they had been driven by their own house that they can't go to, and how is that affecting them mentally, you know? And
So,
I saw them for 30 minutes the last time, and then I watched them drive by their house, and I couldn't do anything about it.
So how many days has it been now since you've seen the kids?
It's been, that was Monday, 4 days. You know, I mean, I've seen them twice in a 15-16-day period. And I've never not seen them for that long. The longest they've ever went without me was a couple of days, you know. You know, I mean, I breastfed these boys until they were almost two. You know, the attachment between us, the bond that we have, is it's not something that you should just rip children away from.
I agree with you 100%, and they shouldn't. You know, and it's true that, you know, you and I and you know, the general public, we want children to be protected when they're in abusive and neglected in their neglected home.
Exactly. But if you look in San Patricio County, yes, there's a lot of those cases that went unanswered and children were lost. Children were in intensive care. I felt bad for those children because I thought, wow, you know, I wasn't doing anything, and they took my kids, but they couldn't save the kids that needed to be saved.
Right. So we just want CPS to go ahead and, you know, concentrate on the kids that are really, truly at risk. When there's imminent harm,
exactly.
You know, we want you to take the kids. That's the law. The law says you can do it when there's imminent harm. When there's no imminent harm, there was no reason to remove them from your home. You know, kind of make you open up to them so that they could twist your words maybe later in court is sometimes, you know, the pattern. Because just after reviewing these cases for so many years, what I see is just a very specific pattern. And it doesn't involve, unfortunately, the really protecting kids or the best interest of the kids. What it involves is just manipulation and just moving parents into the system. Sometimes they get the kids back. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're adopted out. But it completely destroys the family. And there's some data out there to suggest that 16 out of 17 children removed by CPS shouldn't have been removed at all. But, you know, that's a really high number. It's a widespread problem, something the public has to be aware of so that they can call their representatives and get laws changed or at least hold people accountable, is what I think.
Right.
We haven't seen them. What's going on now? Are there any plans for a visit?
No, I cannot. I was told, by my ex that I wasn't welcome in that home, so I cannot access my children. I was also informed via text message that they were not going to let me talk to them because they don't want me to say something that might upset them. But I believe just the mere sound of my voice upsets my children right now because they can't have their mommy. CPS is trying to, They called me the other morning and basically said that they agreed that the safety plan was invalid, but it was out of their hands at this point, that they needed to get their attorney to force me to participate.
So it's invalid.
Now you
got to put that in writing. They said that in writing in an email, just saying.
Yes, I'm working on that one for sure.
Everything that goes on. Okay,
so the confusing part to me, I wondered if they were like trying.
What did they say about your husband blocking you?
They won't answer. They won't answer. I asked her to follow up with an email saying that the safety plan was invalid. She wouldn't put it in writing, so I felt like they were trying to bait me into going to get my kids. And because I had nothing in writing, I did not go get my kids. I did tell the ex, that they said it. No, they didn't tell me I could go get them.
They
just said... they didn't. They said they can't do anything about, the custody dispute now. I'm like, but you did this, but you can't fix it. Then they came back and said they were going to serve me and force me to participate, which I don't think they can. I don't think they have legal grounds to serve me. I don't think there's a judge in his right mind that's going to force me to participate when I didn't do anything wrong.
Well, at this point, it's not a judge. What they'd have to do is get the district attorney in your CPS court, whatever judicial circuit you live in, and the district attorney would have to make a cause of action, and they would have to, explain and describe the abuse and neglect, except that they don't have any, the allegations are really silly. I mean, not silly, they were serious, but they're like, she's threatening me with a gang, like stupid crap, like
yes.
You're not involved in a gang.
Yes, they said I was in a gang. A mom gang, maybe?
And
I don't know.
it's easily proven, too, because, you know, like you said, this is a small town. You're very involved in, you live right down the block from the school. You're very involved in volunteering. You're very involved, you know, your degree is in PR. So, you know, of course, it's obvious you're very involved and active in your community. Everybody knows you. Everybody's able to catch. You have, like, 10 people lined up to tell CPS, look, she's a great mom. You know, there's strange. He's getting a divorce. He's not the one who takes care of the kids.
Right.
He does. Everybody can say that, but CPS is like, we can't do anything?
No. And the thing is, you know, I contacted my references and found out that they had never even called my references at all.
And they didn't call your references. They didn't do any investigation. They basically
No.
I mean, they did not
investigate. I mean, they're teachers. They're care providers.
They didn't expect you, Brittany. They didn't expect you to stick up for yourself, and you're right. So you didn't want
to railroad me.
You didn't want to waive your rights to a trial because you would plead not guilty because the allegations are crazy. So you're not going to agree to a safety plan because you're essentially agreeing, you're pleading guilty when you do that. When you enter an agreement with CPS, into a safety plan with CPS, what you're doing is waiving your right to a dependency trial where the state has to prove the allegations. See how they get away with it? So if they had forced you to sign the case plan at the second time, I know that they tried to at the meeting,
right.
What you would have done then is waive your right for them to prove the allegations because they can't. So what they thought you were going to do is go ahead and waive your right. And make it simple because you're scared and you just want to work. You want to, and I know you want to cooperate. And it's them
right.
that don't want to
cooperate.
I mean, I want
to cooperate to the extent that, you know, I want my kids home and I'll do anything for my kids. But I can't, you know, shame myself when I plan to go to law school later. You know, I cannot admit to being guilty for something that I have not done or been charged with. And, you know, there's no. Nothing that I've done that has hurt my children in any way. You know, my kids, everyone will attest that they're clean. They're always dressed nice. They always have smiles on their face. They're happy. They're never bruised unless they fall off of their little scooters. These are good boys, good, happy boys. They were healthy and happy before this happened, and I can't imagine how they're feeling right now. And they're still having to go to school through all this. And my oldest is an A honor roll student, and I don't know. I wasn't able to go to his award ceremony. I don't know if he kept his A honor roll, but he's never not had an A honor roll. You know, my boys are smart. They're happy, and they are healthy and very well taken care of.
Yes, you're a great mom. Don't let them. You wake up every day and you look in the mirror and you say, I'm a great mom, because you are. Because, you know, they want to beat you down, and they're not just, they can't beat you down on false allegations. You're not going to let them do it. And they just weren't ready for that. So that's why they don't know what to do with you. They weren't ready for
I
that.
I have
to
stand
up
for myself and every other mother or veteran that gets railroaded, you know, because they did try to use my anxiety against me as if it affected my ability to parent. Whenever I've always taken my medication, I've always seen my doctor, you know, I'm retired from the military. I retired, you know, at a very young age, but I am retired with full benefits. I was a staff sergeant, you know, I did supervise people and I did volunteer, you know, and I was awarded by the Pentagon and lauded for locating some laws, you know, that were kind of overpassed, you know, for some foreign-born citizens. Like, I'm not a bad person, and I've never hurt anyone in my entire life.
I believe it, Brittany. I know you. No, you haven't. And I hope that, and I think things are going to come together. So I want you to tell everybody what's going on tomorrow morning.
So tomorrow morning, you know, we're going to set up at 2713 Main in Ingleside, Texas, right next to the Asian Garden. Everyone should grab lunch there, too, while they're there. But, you know, these people, I've known them for a while, you know, just more people that I've talked to or hung out with at some point. They've given me this spare lot to use. So at 9:45, 2713 Main Street in Ingleside, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to tell my story. I'm going to explain how CPS has destroyed my family and probably any possibility of my ex and I ever rekindling our relationship at this point. You know, and they've basically torn my children from their home. They've ripped them from their mother, and then they've refused to participate in the legal actions that they should have taken. You know, and now they're trying to backtrack a little bit. I think they're trying to step back a little bit. I think they're kind of worried that they maybe didn't do what they were supposed to, you know. So I'm going to talk about that stuff. I'm going to talk about how I filed a complaint, you know, through the Consumer Affairs Center, which is the only other option you have. If the supervisor of CPS doesn't cooperate, you have to call the Consumer Affairs Center. So I'm going to talk about how I've taken all the actions I need to take to not only hold CPS accountable, but give them some training. Explain to them, you know, what it looks like when someone maybe might be in duress. Maybe explain to them that mothers have rights, you know, regardless of a divorce. They didn't know the circumstances of my divorce, and you know, I really haven't shared the circumstances of my divorce with anyone because I don't want to badmouth the father of my children. I do not believe in that. But I am going to stand up and say that I've now been railroaded by not only the father of my children, a man that I've loved and supported for 14 years. You know, he's joined forces with CPS, and in my eyes, you know, they're both breaking the law because false complaints have been made. There's allegations that have been made that are just quite unacceptable and very outlandish. And I want to tell my story for me. For any other DV moms out there that are hurting in any way, for any suicide victims, you know, for anybody that's lost their sister, you know, anybody that's been through what I've been through, I want to stand up for those people too tomorrow.
That's awesome of you. Thank you so much. I know a lot of people, you know, appreciate, you know, your efforts. And I want to reiterate to the listeners that, you know, you've had a difficult year. So you lost your mom and you also lost your sister in the past year. But
it was 3 years. Mom was 3 years ago.
3 years? Okay. But at the same time, you know, you talk about, you know, taking your medication. That's a responsible adult. So you're a retired military. You have awards. You know, you're a smart lady, and you're a loving mom. And you don't have to have all those things even to be, you know, a great mom. And CPS really take advantage of those moms, by the way.
Right.
I don't think that they expected you to assert your rights like you have. I don't think they really understood your background. And the idea is that you're not, you know, there's many veterans that suffer from PTSD and other disabilities. And, of course, you know, you have been very responsible. You take your medication, you see your doctor, you do what you have to do, and it's never turned into some kind of abuse, neglect situation. So using the PTSD against you or other disabilities, I mean, that's like violation of, like, you know, disability laws. You know, it's like a lot of things going
on. I believe so.
They manipulated you because of your disability, which they shouldn't have.
Right, and when they release their notes, that I've requested, it will say that the supervisor voiced her concern regarding my anxiety. The worst part is the coordinator in the family team meeting was a DV as well, and I looked directly at her and I said, I bet you also take some disability benefits from the government. You know, how would you like it if someone plastered that everywhere and held it against you after you served your country proudly and did what you were supposed to do? You know, I think that, yes, I've been underestimated completely. I'm a PR major, and I organize things, and it's what I do.
Well, you're doing a great job. I really think so. And hopefully, you know, we will get some press there tomorrow. I kind of want to come on like speakerphone if you can. If you're like phones really charged.
Oh, for sure. Yes, we're gonna get it all figured out. I mean, if we don't have press there, we're gonna continue on Facebook Live. We're gonna get it recorded,
okay, cool.
And we're still gonna get it out there.
Okay, that sounds good. And I'm also going to write a longer article than the press release that issued today. But I'm gonna write a longer article within the next, you know, few days or so, just to get it, you know, out there in the public. And I do want to tell everyone that press release was issued to just almost 4,000 government officials. So we want, you know, and the reason being is that it's important for the public to understand
what is going on in this country when it comes to child protection laws and services. And the idea is we're not against child protection, okay? The idea is that when the government employees are breaking the law, that's when we have to say no, they can't do that. And somebody else has to say it. So the public has to say it too, not just the victims. The public has to say it, and they have to engage their elected officials to do something about it. Okay, we have a tradition on Rocky Amazon. We're almost at the end, Brittany. But we do have a tradition here. I'm sure you don't mind, but I'm going to have to ask you to sing.
Okay.
I mean, okay, some people say no. Some people are like, no, I don't want to. I really don't want to.
Singing isn't my major.
Okay, perfect. You're perfect for this. So we sing the national anthem.
All national anthems?
We're going to sing it with the Glee Club of the West Point, the West Point Glee Club.
I have an uncle that went to West Point.
Okay, and it's a little fast-paced just to get you ready. But it's going to
get really?
Started.
Okay.
It's going to get started in about 30 seconds, so I'm going to let you have the last word. You still there, Brittany? Am I still there?
I am. Oh, you weren't going to play me the song.
I have to go
a cappella?
Yeah, it's coming.
All right, here we go.
But I sing it. I sing it too. We sing along.
Can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly dreaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. But my daddy said the home of the braves.
That was so awesome. We actually sing along with the recording. I didn't need you to sing it alone, but that was great.
I thought you left me hanging out there.
Yeah, I didn't expect you to start singing, but I realized what you were doing, so I asked you to sing, and you did. And so now we can play the song, so we didn't interrupt. But that was fabulous. That was so awesome. I have, like, tears in my eyes. It was so good.
You're amazing. You're amazing. I love that song also. And I love my country.
I could tell. Oh, that was just awesome. God bless America. I really, God bless you for your service, and thank you for coming on. It really has been a great show, and it's going to be archived on blogtalkradio.com/RORNOB. So you can share it, and people can listen to it, and I'm going to wish you the best of luck tomorrow. If I can't be there on speaker, I'm definitely going to be there in spirit.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
All righty. You're listening to Rocky and the Gons podcast, and we'll be back next Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. My name is Raquel Okiai, and my special guest today was Brittany Mundane. And thank you, Dallas Sidman, for a great night. Good night, everybody.